It's the first month of 2017, and it's basketball and soccer that moved to the front lines. 21 games into the season, and we still have a basketball unbeaten in the CUSD. Quite a bit of domination on the girls' side at all levels, and there's a new head football coach in town to discuss. Plenty of teams, plenty of action, and plenty of talent. Brett Quintan with the C-Town Rivals podcast, where high school sports is always on the agenda. Ralph Amson and Chili join me again. Don't forget to reach out to all of us on Twitter. You know we'll tweet back. We love the engagement. Visit us on ArizonaVarsity.com, and of course, give a like to our Facebook page. You'll love it. Boys basketball. The Basha Bears are 21-0. Wow. Most recently, they defeated the Chandler Wolves for the second time this season, 68-50. This is a team that can count on a double-double from Gabe McLaughlin on most nights and another 15 points from Terrell Brown. We've seen him on the football field, but he also gets it done on the basketball court as well. I was able to catch up with Coach Mike Grathaus and Army-bound McLaughlin after the game against Perry.
Coach Grathaus, you guys just knocked off your rival, the Perry Pumas, 61-44. It started off kind of a dogfight, but in the end, you guys pulled away. What was the turning point?
We were able to D it up in the third quarter. We only held them to 3 points. I think, they were rivalry games. You know, everybody's coming out making shots. I mean, they were shooting it really well, doing some really good things as we thought they would. You know, a well-coached team. Colson Strews, who had a big first half for us, keeping us in it. And, you know, like I said, we always rely on our defense, and that's what was able to really get us going on that.
Tell us a little bit more about Colson. When I look at your roster, he's not someone who always jumped out to me. I was familiar with Brian Batiste, obviously Gabe McLaughlin. Tell us about Colson.
Colson's a great kid. I mean, you can't say enough good things about him. I mean, last year he just waited his turn. I mean, he was behind. You know, he's been behind three really good post players we've had in our program, and he never once complained. He's always been our hardest working kid, and he deserves everything that he's having this year. And everybody's starting to see it now.
You guys obviously had a very strong season last year, went to the state quarterfinals. Big men were the key last year. What's kind of the strong suit this year? Obviously, you guys have done essentially everything right.
I think our entire team just complements one another. I mean, we've got, you know, Gabe down in the post, who's a handful not every night. We've got great wings who can you know, get to the basket, who can shoot the ball. I mean, our point guards are solid. They run our team. They facilitate our offense. And, you know, we all space the floor and shoot the ball pretty well. And when they share the ball, you know, and are assisting on each play, I mean, it's fun basketball to watch. It really is.
It definitely was fun. And I'm with Gabe McLaughlin. Certainly fun to watch you guys. Tell us about kind of the ebb and flow of the game this evening.
We started off a little slow, but our defense got us back into it. We did really well defensively. Like Coach Grohaus said, we kept him to 3 points in the third quarter and really just moved the ball really well. We work as a team really well. We're a giant family, so we want everyone to do good. I mean, we don't care who has the good night. It's just whoever's feeling it gets the ball. I mean,
you said a key word, family. That's the one thing that I've learned from Coach Grathaus in his tenure here. And much like yourself, now you're a senior. Tell us a little bit about how the going from freshman to a senior, now you're one of the guys who everyone looks up to.
Mm-hmm. Basically, Coach G instills leadership in everyone. He always expects the best from our seniors, even our juniors. And we're a senior and junior heavy team, and we expect the best. I mean, we experienced last year falling a little short in the last run in the tournament, and
it was nice but tough, left you determined.
Mm-hmm. It had a chip on our shoulder. We have a chip on our shoulder now, and we really just bought into it. We all bought into it. We know what we want, and we're going to go get it. We're going to fight for it.
From what I understand, you are headed to West Point next year. I'm going to say, what went into that decision? A very good decision, at least from what I understand. But tell us about you being an Army cadet next year.
I'm excited. I mean, it just spoke to the kind of person I want to be. I want to be a leader. I want to be a respectful man, a responsible man, and really be the best person I could be. I think it was a great choice because it puts me in the best place academically and really good place to work basketball-wise and just get after it.
Coach, you have a fine young man here, McLaughlin. What needs to be improved from a team for you guys to go even further than you did a year ago?
We can always improve offensively and defensively, I think. I mean, I think we still leave some points off the board. I mean, our execution as teams begin to continue to scout us. I mean, defensively, like I said, we're always little things we can work on. I mean, this is the fun thing about this team is I really don't think we've played a really 32-minute game. I mean, there's still a lot of good things left that this team can do, and it's really fun to watch. I mean, they work their tails off every day in practice. They're a joy to be around, starting with Gabe. I mean, they're just a fun group to be around. They really are.
C-Town Rivals is always rooting for you guys. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Ralph, you've heard and seen over the years, Coach Grathouse truly likes to push the team family concept in and around the Basha community, and 4 years later, they've truly bought in.
I think it was probably one of the best hires in the state over the last 10 years as far as basketball goes. And I'm not trying to brown nose Coach G anything like that.
It's true.
The fact of the matter is Basha has always had talent. They've had trouble keeping them there. I remember, they at one point had Torin Jones and Jerron Hopkins and Maurice Kirby, and they weren't able to win a title with all those bigs. And Coach Grathouse comes in, and it seems like everybody likes playing for him. You have players coming in instead of players leaving.
Absolutely.
They had made a hire before him, and I won't get too much into it, but it was somebody who had won a title with Highland back when I was in high school and had coached a little bit at Mesquite. And he decided he didn't want to be in state anymore, and he took off, and people didn't necessarily like playing for him. And Coach Grathouse was a nice change of pace. It wasn't so much of a pendulum swing to where he did everything different than the previous coach just because.
Sure.
He's done things his way, and it's working out. And this year they're legitimate title contenders, and not a lot of people maybe thought that would be possible graduating some of the talent that they've had over the last few years. But Gabe McLaughlin has proved to be a really good leader. One of the things that I really like is he preaches defense. They've held several teams under 50 points this year, and some very good teams under 40. Their most notable win of the year for me came on December 2nd when they beat Desert Ridge 34-33. So they can win ugly, and then, there are games where they've put up mid-70s. And so I think if you look at what they're able to do offensively and defensively, this is a pretty complete team.
It is. It really is. I mean, obviously a team that reached the semifinals a year ago, so they've got one more step, or possibly two, we'll say, to win the last couple of games of that season. But yeah, overall, I'm extremely impressed.
I think that the program's been very fortunate to have players like Terrell Brown and McLaughlin stick around. In a day and age of where, opportunity comes and you jump at it, Perry had a kid transfer, out and go to Shadow Mountain. I know a lot of people were talking about, could this Basha team compete with Shadow? I'm not sure if they're there yet, but I love what the coach is doing over there. I love the direction of the program. This is a team that I think, is going to trend upwards for years.
And you're right. Terrell Brown didn't have to play basketball. He could protect his football scholarship.
That's right.
He just gave his verbal.
NAU.
Yeah, he gave his verbal to Northern Arizona. And, I mean, he could try to, protect that and sit out the basketball season like we actually do see.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Bryce Perkins did that. He sat out
his senior year
of basketball.
No, he played basketball. He didn't do track.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you couldn't get him to sit. But Arizona State University has a football commit right now from Mesa Mountain View who had basketball offers.
Oh, yeah.
Hodges. So what he's decided to do is forego basketball his senior year, stick to football. So not everybody makes that decision. And obviously, Terrell Brown, if he sits out, I don't think they're undefeated right now. They're still a very good team, but I don't think they're undefeated.
I definitely agree. He definitely gives that slight swag on the court. I mean, he knows how to get to the hole, and he certainly knows how to shoot. Next up for Bash is a home game against Gilbert. The Tigers have a record of 10-9. The Hamilton Huskies have won back-to-back games, and they're now 14-6 on the year. Clearly, the Huskies' best player is junior Rashad Smith. Smith averages 15 points a game, and head coach Doug Harris is getting this program back on the upswing. They reached the second round a year ago and are looking to build off of that. Sam Duane and the Perry Pumas, 9-12 on the season. Last night, they were defeated by the Brophy Broncos, 68-36. Now, fellas, despite the record, is there anybody else that the Pumas would rather have at the helm right now with this young team than Sam Duane?
I say absolutely not. Who else would you want but somebody that created the Corona, pretty much created the Corona legacy that, you know, we still talk about today? You know, players still trickle into Corona, and they've been, what, through two coaches. Like, they're on the second one since Duane left, I believe. And, you know, I just think, you know, nothing happens overnight.
Correct.
The football program can be a testament to that. So hopefully, you know, the basketball program takes
hashtag
a note
elite.
From the, you know, hashtag pizza, you know, shout out to all them boys that, you know, hold on real quick. Just so we can get into it, Brett, I want you to know you're safe. You can go to your mailbox because you know what?
Yes.
I did deliver gift cards. Shout out to all them kids.
Tweeted and everything.
They were all amazing. That is a great, great, well-ran football program from top to bottom. And I got to show Coach Jones some love. You know, he tracked me down. He wanted to make sure his boys were taken care of. And, you know, I got them. Ralph for being on me. He said, hey, man. You know, we do the podcast. You got to make sure you deliver. So I don't care if you got to get a job at Domino's. You know, you do what you got to do. Do the right thing. Because Brett keeps on getting attacked every time he goes to get his mail. So anyways, now that we've got that out of the way, Perry basketball, I think, is definitely, you know, going to be going in the right direction. I think, you know, we're going to have a situation here in Chandler during basketball season that we have during football season.
That's right.
You know, we always talk about these teams competing at the top and, you know, which one's going to be the bottom feeder. And none of them want to do that. So, you know, that's my 2 cents on Perry.
February 7th is the season finale, regular season finale, and they play each other at Perry.
And I went out and I watched Perry play against Chandler, and Rajon Billingsley had a great performance, scored 19 points, helped the Pumas win that game. And, I sat near some coaches from Benedictine in Mesa, and they were watching the game real close. Right after the game, they went down and gave him an offer. So,
oh, wow.
You know, they're slowly impressive. Working their way up to that status that Sam Duane had when he's with Corona. Right now, they're kind of on the outside looking in, or right on the edge of potentially being a playoff team. I think in the latest AZ Preps, Max Preps rankings, I think they're around 16th.
Yep.
But they're a decent team. I don't expect them to do any damage or go very deep this year. But
also, the good thing is with the playoffs, 24 teams qualify. So, yeah, they may, even if they get in, they'll be on the road, but that does open the door as opposed to football, they're 16.
Right, but Blake Williams has developed nicely under Sam Duane, and you know, he had a pretty good game when I was out there to watch them, and they were able, for at least the first half, to contain Tevian Jones, who Greg Rosenberg, who writes for Arizona Varsity, and C-Town Rivals is part of Arizona Varsity, part of Rivals, he rates Tevian Jones as the number one player in all of 2018. In the state of Arizona, up there with KJ Himes at St. Mary's. So, you know, they were able to contain him for a half. He had a huge second half, and Chandler almost came back to win that game. But, you know, defensively, they showed a little bit of heart. Offensively, with Billingsley, I think they're in really good shape.
Greg Rosenberg, I got to throw this out there. The best scout west of the Mississippi.
Oh, he knows it, yeah.
The best scout west of the Mississippi. If you're looking for, you know, who's top 10 at whatever position, whatever class, make sure you subscribe, ArizonaVarsity.com. Nobody does basketball coverage. Nobody does high school sports coverage like Greg does. I pride myself on, like, what I do. It's an amazing team, amazing reads, ArizonaVarsity.com.
The Chandler Wolves, they're struggling a bit at 7-12. It's Coach Ed Gibson's first season at the helm, coming over from a small college coaching stint in Illinois. This edition of the Wolves is led by a guy we just mentioned, obviously, Tevian Jones. He averages double figures, as does Brandon Thompson. Combined, they average almost 29 a game. If the Wolves play 500 ball the rest of the way, they probably will still be able to sneak in and qualify for another postseason berth. Commander King and the Seton Catholic Sentinels. They've won back-to-back contests, but they're still well below 500 at 6-13. Next game for the Red and Gold is on Thursday at Tempe, a team they lost to on January 5th, 66-56. Senior Luke Thompson leads away with 15 a game.
Man, I feel like we should be talking about the girls' basketball team right now and showing them all the love
they
deserve.
We will.
You know, this team led by Pinter and Thompson on the court, man, I don't know what direction King is going to be going, because like they got six seniors on this team and none of their young kids average like more than like 4 points. I got to ask myself this question. I'm wondering if Karen Self's kids could, you know, for 8 minutes hang with these boys. I kind of think they could.
No.
It would be a long quarter.
Yeah, for the boys, it might be a problem. I think that Sarah Barcelo might give some kids buckets.
That would definitely happen.
I think it would be a very, very pride swallowing moment. And you know, I would love to see it for 8 minutes. For 8 minutes, let these kids run.
Maybe for a quarter, but I played at Chandler when the team of the century was there. Lindsay Taylor, 6'7", and Jessica Combs, 6'5". I mean, they won the state championship in 1999. Coach Mike Desper, they end up naming the court out at Chandler after him. And it was just an incredible team. And even they, you know, Chandler's varsity team had Terrell Suggs that year playing basketball. But even they, the girls were so good, but even they would practice against us freshmen instead of varsity. And they would definitely be on. I didn't remember ever getting any shots up over Taylor or Combs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think varsity boys and varsity girls, even though Seton Catholic and Karen Sells' team is so good, even for 8 minutes, could hang. And I don't know.
We always have these discussions. Can Saguaro play up and beat Chandler or Mountain Point? Can Alabama beat the Jacksonville Jaguars? I want to know, can Karen Sells' girls run with Commander King's boys for 8 minutes? Just give me 8 minutes. Give me 3 refs, 8 minutes, and a Sarah Barcelo on the court. I might take the girls. Give me like 4 or 5 points.
You're always trying to make Seton mad. No way.
Yeah, see it? Yeah, he's got that Seton beef. Where's the football coach when we need him?
Oh, exactly. But I don't.
I love Commander King, too. Let me put that out there.
Great guy.
I love Commander King. But I want to know if his boys got the oomph to go 5-on-5 with those girls for 8 minutes. 8 minutes. I think that those girls hang within 8 points at least.
I don't know. Well,
there's some.
You can drop an email to both coaches and see if they'll agree.
I can buy a pizza party, too, whichever five wins. We could do that again.
I'm thinking you need to hold off with that pizza.
Let's go ahead and give Seton Catholic some credit. They have the highest average opponent rating in 4A, and it's not even close. So they've been playing harder teams than everybody else. The next closest is St. Mary's. So, I mean, and that's got Seton Catholic clean.
4A is really tough this year. Yes. I will say that.
4A and yours truly will be doing the play-by-play
for the
4A.
So oh, yeah, nice. Shout out to my man, Brett. Yes. Hey, yeah, he's doing that play-by-play. He's going to be, you know, hey, watching some ballers.
So let's put it this way. Seton Catholic's only played 10 games that really count toward 4A play.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-6 in those games with an average opponent rating of 7.13. That only puts them one spot behind Cactus Shadows, who is 6-6 with a 4.68 average opponent rating. And then your Marcos Denise. I know you love Marcos Denise.
Mason Stark, Iron Man. Mm,
they're Padres. 15. So they're only Marcos is only two spots ahead of Seton, and their average opponent rating is -0.15. But they're 8-4 in 4A play. So it's going to take is for Seton Catholic to win the games that they should. And they're going to start climbing. You could see them get up to a top 12 within a couple of weeks. All they got to do is win the games that they can win.
It's a first-round home game, so that'd be nice to see.
Well, I'm going to that Marcos game. I'm going to go watch Iron Man Mason Stark. And if he's handing out buckets the way Coach Taggart's handing out scholarships right now, like, hey, we're going to be back here next week, and I'm going to let y'all know.
Wow. Valley Christian, they're off to a 15-3 start under Greg Hagsma. Matt Savornik, the senior, averaging 14 a game, tops on the Trojans roster. VC's most recent win, a 60-38 thumping of the Castile Colts. The Colts, however, they're putting together a solid program as well, 14-8 on the year, Chile. But a guy named Brett Huston, he was an assistant at Corona del Sol, and I know you guys are both big on that Aztec program. It's very solid, so they're building things over in Queen Creek.
I mean, anytime you have any part of the Corona del Sol coaching staff join your lineup, I mean, I think it's always a good thing just because Corona, the coaching staff there from top to bottom, knows how to, you know, follow the prep circuit. And I think that that's really, really important. Like, there's other premier basketball schools out here that at the top the coaches kind of know, but then like as you trickle down into, you know, the JV and the freshman ranks, you know, the coaches, like, they're just playing for what's at the top. And
sure,
you know, anytime you can pick off anything from Corona, I think it's
great.
And
you figure, much like we talked about in football, where you can start him at 7th grade and just stay in that program for 6 years, that's awesome.
Big.
Because right now, again,
that's
they're only
huge.
Playing freshman and sophomore. So it's
that's huge.
Solid stuff. On the girls' side, the Valley Christian girls, always super competitive. They're in the midst of a 4-game road swing. They're 15-3 as well. Three girls in double figures, Bethany Wolf, Megan Timmer, and Anna Gorman. Most recent win for them, 78-18 over Castile. We plan on having both Greg Hagsman and Scott Timmer on our next podcast, but you can expect some more W's from that program over the next week or so. Speaking of W's, Karen Self and the Seton Catholic girls, 19-2. We just discussed, well, can they beat the boys or not? I'll say this, their lone two losses, they came to out-of-state teams in a holiday tournament. They're the defending state champions, and you have to go all the way back to March 2nd of 2015 to find the last time they lost to a team in Arizona. That was the state final to Maricopa. Latest victim, Shadow Mountain, 61-36. Next victim, Tempe, they beat them 70-10 3 weeks ago.
Also, I think we've got to mention that those two losses by like a combined like 5 points.
Right, oh yeah, close. Like
this,
no, they're...
This team is 5 points away from like just being undefeated and just like humiliating people. Like they might be the UConn of girls basketball out here. Although, in the future, there is something that I'm going to bring up of, you know, which might put a little chink in the armor that Karen Self has. But until then, I need to see them run with them boys for 8 minutes.
Chili, always a man of mystery, but without a doubt, they're...
Wait.
He's talking about chink and armor and all that sort of stuff. What
hold
do you
on,
got?
Hold on. Okay, so here's the deal. We know the athletic director out at Leading Edge Academy, brand new to the AIA, okay? So they... And brand new to the AIA, and they're playing in 2A, and they're like 18-2 this year. I think their only losses are to Valley Christian and Perry. But they're playing down at 2A, so they jumped up for those games. I think what Chili is saying is, like, there are teams that want to play against Seton, and I think that they're one of them. And I think Chili would just like to see Seton play everybody. Take on the 3 to 4 best teams in every single classification, because it is getting ridiculous. They're out there just crushing people.
And they are.
There's only a couple of teams that could really hang with them in the entire state. One of them is Mesquite's really good. The West Valley has a couple of good teams. I think Millennium has a couple of really, really good girls. But, you know, they're definitely... It gets boring when you are winning by
like that, consistently,
40-50 every single game.
Yeah, 70-10 and stuff of that nature. That's it's kind of crazy.
Coach Self runs a great program.
She does.
And when you
she
run
does.
A great program, you always get, you know, the cream of the crop when it comes to athletes. You know, they all want to go to your school. Seton doesn't have to really abide by, you know, district boundaries and things like that. You know, and I know there's other like hoops that sometimes people have to jump to get to the school that they want. But, you know, yes, I do want to see her take on all challengers, especially when one comes in, you know, with what, like 18 straight like CAA championships or whatever.
Five in a row.
Leading Edge has. I mean, they have like they only played in five like girls basketball seasons, right? Or six or something.
I think six total. Yeah, they just
like,
started
so
their program.
They just came out just like Floyd Mayweather in, you know, the competition, and here they are. Here's the opportunity. Like, you know what? Coach Self, I have so much respect for you that I think your girls can hang with boys for 8 minutes. Yo, just go ahead and, you know, take on this challenger, take on this Danny Swift Garcia, lay them down real quick, and then keep it moving.
Well, if they do play, it won't be until next year, so maybe we can lobby for that to be a...
We have time.
Yeah, we can lobby for that to be a 2017-2018 regular season matchup. Hype it up, bring a bunch of people out. But that, I mean, it would be good. They and that Leading Edge team is still really young. They have a 6'2" girl who you're allowed to, and a lot of these charter teams, especially in the CAA, play on varsity as young as 7th grade. So this girl's a junior this year, and she has 4 titles. She has a chance to graduate with 6 championships.
Which she will. She will. And I just want to see Coach Self, you know, match up with them just one time.
Maybe,
32 minutes. Let's
and
see
maybe they go out there. Maybe they go out there and drop them by 40. You never know, but it would be cool to see them play each other.
Sarah Barcelo is the Sentinels' leading scorer, over 18 a game, and the Worth twins, Leanne and Jen, they combined for another 20. On to Arizona Avenue in the CUSD. The Chandler Wolves girls team 13-6 after defeating Basha 51-43. Here's a name to look out for, Victoria Mason. 14 points a game, and she is a freshman. Always bodes well when you have young talent to build around. And the defending state champion, Hamilton Huskies, they are 18-3 under Trevor Nieder. The top-ranked squad, they're led by Maya Banks and Maddie Fredericks. They combine for over 30 points a game. This team truly in cruise control.
Maya Banks is, I remember she transferred into Hamilton, I think, as a, I don't know if it was a junior or a sophomore. But I think we might have run out to into her out at
the WNBA All-Star game. Yeah. Oh, that did not realize that was her.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Wow. And that would have been 2014, the summer of
2014. Yeah, so we met her, and she had just transferred into Hamilton, and she is as advertised. And Maddie Fredericks
as well.
We were told
she was good, yes. Wow.
This is, I was wondering if Hamilton would take a step back, Peyton Whitmore graduating and everything like that. They have not. This is a very good team.
Wow. My favorite player on the team is still the girl, the guard, Courtney Colleary.
She's
still my favorite player. Super clutch. Like, there's a... she's going to hit somebody with a dagger. If you give her an opportunity, she's going to hit somebody with a dagger.
Wow. All right. And let's briefly just run through some soccer right quick. Hamilton and Chandler both ranked in the top 10. Most recently, they played to a 2-2 tie. On the girls' side, Castile, unbeaten. They're 10-0. But we also have Seton Catholic. They're ranked 6 in 3A. Wow, their most recent game against Marcos Deniza, ugly is what we would call it. It's like a shutout. It's a bad shutout. 12 goals in the first half, 12 goals in the second half. I've never heard of a 24-0 soccer game in my life. I haven't. I mean, that's domination.
Maybe it was girls playing boys. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't think it was. But we'll leave those sports on that note. 24-0. Just keep up the great work.
I feel like there's some stuff going on Twitter, though.
If you follow us on C-Town, at C-Town Rivals on Twitter, the C-Town Rivals podcast, we had somebody jump in when I tweeted out that score. And it said football couldn't even put up that many points. And that's popped off a little bit of an argument. Forrest Sweet, you all know Forrest Sweet. He came in and he's kind of defending Seton Catholic's honor on the football field. But that's kind of a mean shot at the football team. Obviously, I think 24-0 on the soccer field is probably the equivalent of like a 160-0 football shutout. I mean, that's...
yeah, I mean, it's... that's rough. I mean, that's... a goal every other minute. It's better than a goal every other minute. They're only playing 45 minutes.
I mean, yeah, right? at that point, you have 11 people on the field. You might want to put 8 of them in goal.
Stop. Yeah. See, here you guys go.
Well, man. You put 8 of them in goal, you keep them from putting 12 in the goal each half.
Well, for the record, Seton Catholic football did not average 24 points.
Wow.
They were well under.
Didn't average 24 points a game on the season?
They were closer to like 18.
Wow. Certainly the most lopsided game that we've really mentioned in any sport since we've been doing this. That's just,
they've given up an average of 24 points, though, at least.
Oh, come on.
That's Chili's love for Seton Catholic.
Well, I'm not going to be allowed to boy sporting events there anymore. But I will be there for Marco Seton for the basketball game.
That's good.
Chili did say this week, though, he did give them some love. He came out and said that Seton Catholic, for the size of the school, has the best student section.
Oh, student for student.
I've heard
their basketball crowd is crazy.
Yes,
and,
it's good.
And like Ralph had brought up, like, I think it's really important that school shows so much school spirit for basketball.
They do.
And I think that's amazing, especially considering, like, their bleachers are pretty much one-sided, so they share the same side as their opponent. Like... Seton Catholic crowd for basketball, the best in the state.
And they were there was a time when they were trolling. Was it McClintock?
No.
there was a time when McClintock filled out their half of the stands, and Seton Catholic, what are they, the red zone?
Yeah.
Their student section was egging on McClintock's kids so bad, and we're sitting in the middle of it. It made me so uncomfortable, but it ended up being pretty funny. But Seton, they don't care who comes in. You know, they're just going to have fun with it. And I'm looking forward to getting out to a game real soon. I know they do the – they just got done doing the silent night
thing. I was going
to
ask
you. They do that every year.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully they start winning again and they're
record is just a product, obviously, of the tough competition. But it'll be interesting to see if the students are all out for some of these upcoming games.
Absolutely. The Red and Gold, we certainly support you guys. What's a podcast without football? And obviously, there's no games currently being played. But you were at a game, Ralph, not more than a month ago, actually, in the Lone Star State. And it was a big one, televised on ESPN, the whole nine yards. I will say that I'm not going to say shocked. I was overly impressed with the way Chandler handled Valdosta.
I flew out there 2 in the morning on Friday, got there at 5 in the morning, drove to downtown Dallas, did a few of the tourist things, and then made my way out to Frisco. And the Dallas Cowboys have a beautiful practice facility. I mean, their practice facility costs 3 times more than what the Cardinal Stadium cost to build. This place is incredible. It was great to, you know, take a tour around that and everything like that. It was really, really cool to see all of the Chandler kids out there. Valdosta brought all of their kids. I think you were only supposed to bring a certain amount, but they paid for everybody to come out. So when they came out, you know, it really looked like they had the numbers on Chandler, but Chandler was just so relaxed, and they went in and had kind of a rough first quarter, not able to run the ball. You know, Valdosta is probably the best run defending team they played against all year, including Mountain Point.
TJ Green shredded them.
And TJ Green shredded them, but not in the first half. He fumbled early. He had a little bit of trouble early on. And Ryan Johnson had a little bit of trouble getting going. But ultimately, what saved Chandler early on was Jacob Conover and Gunnar Romney's connection.
Gunnar Romney looked really good.
He targeted Romney 9 times in that first quarter alone, and Romney ended up having a monster game on ESPN for everybody to watch. That's only going to be, you know, good things for him. He's a junior. It's going to be great things for Conover as a sophomore. But the seniors went in and they took care of business defensively. The defensive line held up. It was great. I think Imani Lee had another interception.
He
played really, really well. Chandler's sophomore linebacker, I think Zach.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. 45,
I know exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, he had a great game. Senior linebacker had a great game. So defensively, they were good. They didn't get a lot of credit there. But yeah, and then TJ Green just started absolutely shredding them in the second half. There's nothing Valdosta could do about it. And afterward, Chandler had a lot of really great things to say about Valdosta. But what you could really tell is during the game, they were just so relaxed. They're so used to winning. It didn't matter that they had 3 weeks off. They really hit their stride.
That's great.
And felt good about what they were doing. And I had an opportunity to talk to Sean Aguano after the game about what it was like to, because he got there in 2002, what it's like to take Chandler from the absolute dredges in the bottom of football in Arizona to the peak and winning a bowl game on ESPN. All right, so winter break, family, got all that stuff, but you got to concentrate on football. You come out here to Frisco. I mean, what was the experience like, and how does Georgia kind of measure up to what you thought it would be?
You know, Georgia plays good football. They're physical and fast. Our kids, you know, I gave them that week off right after the championship. You know, they needed their legs back. But this is just a great bunch of kids that they all play together and like being around each other. So it gave us another month to be with them, and we're having a great time.
Being at Chandler early, kind of, you said since 02, knowing that from like 97 to 05 they made the playoffs once, didn't even get the win that time. I mean, what about the evolution of Chandler football to reach the point of playing in late December on ESPN?
You know, it's I just was talking to Coach Scott about it. Going from where we were to probably almost the pinnacle of high school football, I couldn't have even written up any better than that. But our administration, our coaching staff, who has been together for 14 years, and that shows just the consistency and the kids that we're getting. So I'm glad that we represented Arizona, not only Chandler High School and the community, but all of Arizona.
How did it make you feel to see a lot of the community travel? And you know they're always around, always barbecuing, all that North Chandler lifestyle. But talk a little bit about just the community of Chandler football.
You know, they have been fantastic. Everyone from the mayor giving me a phone call to Governor Ducey, sending me a letter. But the Chandler community has been there on. I think we have the best crowd everywhere we travel to, at the state games and when we travel in our national games. But they have been incredible. We talk about Ohana and family, they're just part of it.
And I tell you what I like most about what he had to say, just the fact that they were representing not just the Chandler community, not just the CUSD or anything, but the whole state. And the one thing that just in learning and listening to Iguano just week in, week out, he's very proud of this series. So it was just great to see, and something we're seeing on a terrific level. Chandler fans travel well. You've now seen them in a few different states, Ralph. You've seen them several times, Chili. They bring their fans, and this is an organization.
Yeah, no doubt. This year, I watched them in California. Traveled really, really well. I know last year, we watched them in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. They traveled well, and Ralph went out to Texas and watched them. I just think it's amazing because Valdosta is like the winningest high school football program ever.
It might be.
I think it is. Yeah,
but they 0-1 versus Chandler Wolves. That's right. You know, they 0-1 versus them Chandler boys. So you know, shout out to TJ and Johnny and you know and everybody else. You know, like they handled that business.
They did about that business. They definitely did. Recruiting. You guys generally stay on top of new offers and things of that nature. I know we just spoke earlier about NAU and Terrell Brown. Who else is on the docket? Obviously, we've got signing day coming up in a couple weeks.
I know about Johnny Johnson picking up an offer from Michigan State, I believe. And I know, shout out to my man Ralph, who is fighting really, really hard for this. It's important that everybody that listens and hangs out with us and follows us on Twitter understands how hard Ralph goes in his free time to make sure that, you know, an extraordinary player like TJ Green goes and gets that fourth star, because I know, you know, sometimes, you know, Ralph got to battle and say some things to the right people. Like, this is what he's done. Like, I've seen him live. Like, and TJ Green is now a four-star recruit officially, right?
Yeah, he's a four-star in Rivals.
And picked up the Utah offer. I don't know if that's swaying him from OSU or something like that.
My guess is no, with the amount of loyalty that Oregon State has showed to the state of Arizona, Gary Anderson's coaching staff and everything.
Shout out Kerry Taylor.
Yeah, and Kerry Taylor now has a job out there. You know, you were able to help break that news that he took a quality control and assistant wide receivers coach job out of Oregon State. But Gary Anderson has shown so much loyalty to the state of Arizona. It's not like he was ever here. You know, he was recruiting Arizona when he was at Utah State. He moved on to Wisconsin for a couple of years, and when he got back to Oregon State, he saw all the untapped potential, and he's been taking kids from Chandler, from Mountain Point, from Pima Community College, and they've done a really, really good job of stocking up on Arizona talent out there. So I don't see TJ Green being swayed, but it is interesting to see, you know, TJ Green had such a great season, and I think the way that he came on prevented him from having more offers earlier, and the fact that people don't really look for running backs in the state of Arizona.
That's true.
The best running back in the state of Arizona last year, to me, was a guy at Estrella Foothills named Joe Logan, and he didn't get a single FBS offer. He went to NAU and ended up starting as a true freshman.
Wow.
Before that, I mean, Dedrick Young out of Centennial.
Kadeem Carey?
I think you have to go all the way back to Kadeem Carey to where the in-state schools were actually looking at an in-state running back, a pure running back. Yeah, so, you know, it's really, really tough for running backs out here. It's tough for linebackers out here. You remember how hard we lobbied for Case Hatch from Perry? You know, it's tough if you play one of those two positions. The best linebacker at least I've ever seen is Wesley Payne, and it took him going to community college for a couple of years to be able to get an Oregon State offer. So TJ Green, I think, might get a little bit more attention before signing day, but if he's not receptive to it, like if people who have connections to Utah say, like, oh, we offered him, but he's not really taking our calls or he doesn't want to do an official, then you might not see other teams coming in. But the fact of the matter is a lot of Pac-12 schools only have 10 to 12 commits. Like, they should probably reach out and gauge his interest and see if he might be interested. Arizona State's not going to call him. U of A's full. But there's a lot of these other schools that probably should reach out to TJ Green just based on what he was able to put together. And kudos to Utah for doing it, but I don't see him breaking that commitment from Oregon State.
And I know you'd have the insight, if anybody has the insight. What's the story with my man Jacob Conover? Cool Jacob Conover. What offers does he have? Anything pending? Anything like...
Jacob Conover, you know, he just got to Arizona. It'll be helpful this summer, you know, if he has a chance to go. Yeah, he has a chance to get out to some camps and stuff like that. But because he's at Chandler High and because coaches always make it a point to stop by Chandler High, I mean, if you look at Sean Aguano's tweets today, he had like six or seven colleges that just came by only today. So people are aware of Jacob Conover, and he's going to get attention. He's going to get offers. I think the popular thought with him being LDS is that, like, he's going to want to go to BYU. And he might be the type of quarterback mm-hmm. they actually look at. You know, he's sure. kind of a Max Hall type who mm-hmm. had a lot of success out there. And so
he's only going to get better.
right. Yeah. There are so many – the 2018 class has so many good quarterbacks, and so many people are kind of looking – or the 2019 class, which he's a part of. Mm-hmm. So many people are kind of looking to see what Spencer Rattler's going to do before Jacob Conover. Unfortunately, you know, that there's always this weird hierarchy of, you know, quarterbacks every year where it's a rivalry, even though it's not. Like this year, you know, Ryan Kelly got an offer, and then maybe if Ryan Kelly turned you down, then Chase Cord would get the offer. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
sure.
that's just kind of the way that it works. I do expect him to get some attention, though, as well as, you know, some of your old guys that are out there, like DeCarlos Brooks and everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Jarrett Caldwell's another one. There are players all over the city of Chandler who are definitely going to be getting attention. And the coaches are coming through right now. So you have to be on it. You have to make sure you have your grades now. You know, you have to
right,
make sure that you're
huge.
Lifting weights now. Yeah, there is no offseason. You can play other sports, but you have to be focused on your future, because if you don't stay ready when that opportunity presents itself, you're going to miss out. So it's all about staying ready. And that's not something you're going to have to worry about with Conover.
No, you're absolutely right. I definitely agree that what you do as a freshman and sophomore results in what happens to you as a senior. And sometimes that doesn't sink in until, I don't want to say it's too late, but sometimes that doesn't sink in until after your junior year. And it's like, oh, wow, maybe I better do this. Maybe I better do that. That ship is not fully sailed, but it's certainly starting to move away. So, yeah, no, I fully agree that you are correct. And then switching over on the other side of Chandler, you guys probably call it the Far East, probably the airport, the helicopter, whatever you guys call it. Basha, 5990 South Val Vista Drive, has a new head coach, and that head coach does have a state title. Rich Welbrock, he comes over from Desert Edge. I'll say I've only had one meeting with Coach Welbrock, and that was earlier this year in a game at Mesquite. Nothing but good things. I mean, he's 74-16 in his 7 years at Desert Edge. I think he's awesome, and I look for good things.
I mean, this is definitely an interesting addition. He's brought an offensive coordinator. He's brought in a defensive coordinator. He's going to do everything he can to turn this program around, this program that makes the playoffs every single year but doesn't really do much once they get there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a pendulum thing. You know, they do some things really, really well, but they replace the coach because there are other things that they don't do well, and he's going to come in and try to instill discipline, defense, making sure you're running the ball. I don't know how much they're really going to stick to their air raid. One thing that Welbrock did while he was at Desert Edge that people need to realize is he always played to the team's strengths. So when he had a quarterback that was capable of throwing for 3,500 yards, they threw the ball. And when the best person to be behind center was Teron Thomas, who's a natural running back, who will play running back at UC Davis in college, they ran the ball every single time. He's going to do whatever works. Colin Collins is a good quarterback. Yep. Out at Basha, he'll have the ability to move the ball down the field. I think Jalen Goodman is, you know, going to...
He comes back, yeah.
Yeah, he might take Deshaun Goodman's place. So he has options. There's some talent there. I think they'll be better right away. But the other thing about this is that makes the premier division in 6A. That gives you four head coaches of the five with state title rings. And the other coach is the Arizona Cardinals
Coach of the Year. Heading to the Pro Bowl, and Preston Jones is going to have a good time down there. And I think it's great. I mean, this is – it's premier for a reason, from coaches to talent.
I definitely think that Basha might be taking on a different signature now. I think, you know, defense is going to be their, you know, MO, and defense is going to be their priority. I look forward to watching Basha play. I'm hoping maybe I'll...
You're probably hoping they're on the road so it's closer to where you live.
I am. I just can't wait to see him. You know, some of his defenses that he had over at Desert Edge were some of my favorite, most athletic, fun-to-watch defenses. So fundamentally sound that, honestly, like I made comments to Ralph, I wish he would come coach at ASU. Coach the defense at ASU. Because they were so fundamental in wrapping up and hitting, and they got the job done.
Yeah. I think he's capable of great things. I mean, from what I've gathered, it's never been about getting talent in. It's keeping talent.
Yeah.
And certainly...
I don't think he's going to be losing talent.
Right. And I was going to say, if Rich Welbrock translates some of the success that he had over on the west side and brings it to the Southeast Valley, they're not going to lose anybody. They'll start gaining people.
The other thing that I think is really cool about Bash's situation, me and Ralph had the opportunity to talk to Ryan Kelly. I want to say it was his last game against Perry, you know, when I had to buy the pizza for Perry. And he gave his blessing. He said, hey, Collins is going to be the guy. He's a good quarterback. And I just thought it was cool for him to pass the torch like that. That being said, you know, that's all I have to say.
Sounds good. No, I think Basha certainly is in good hands. Speaking of good hands, the signing day is in 2 weeks, and a lot of guys are going to put that pen to the paper. We'll have all of the official results and details when that happens. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing who ends up where. And as always, it's a lot of fun yucking it up with you guys, sharing some insight and seeing what team can beat what team and all that good stuff. Until next time, this is the C-Town Rivals Podcast.